If God be for us, who can be against us? But how is it that God is always for us? We continue reading in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. God is for us because of the ministry of Christ on our behalf. Jesus sits at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. To grow in appreciation of this great blessing, we turn to the book of Job, chapter 9, verses 32 and 33. In the day of his trouble, Job was desperate to know why God would allow such dreadful things to happen to him. He wished there was someone who could stand between him and God to speak to God on his behalf. Job said, "For he," that is God, "is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment." Verse 33, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us, that might lay his hand upon us both." Job understood that sinful man needs someone to speak on his behalf before the throne of judgment. He needs a mediator. He needs someone to do the job Moses did when Moses spoke to God on behalf of the disobedient children of Israel. Exodus chapter 32, verses 9 through 11. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." Verse 10, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Verse 11, "And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" Down to verse 13, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever." Verse 14 says, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." In the days of the Mosaic Law, the ministry of the daysman was carried out by the high priest. It was his duty to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. But Job's desire for a daysman was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Only Jesus can lay his hand upon us both. He lays hands upon God the Father and upon you and me, God's often disobedient children. Jesus is our advocate with the Father. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." He lives to intercede for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." The laying on of hands is a picture of our high priest, Jesus Christ the righteous, standing in the gap between God and sinful man. When we lay our hands on others in His name, we give witness that God's hand is upon our lives through the mediation of His Son for the performing of His will. The unseen hand of God strengthens the hand of His minister. Listen to Jacob's blessing of Joseph in Genesis chapter 49, verse 24. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. When Moses laid hands on Joshua to consecrate him to his ministry, his hands represented the hands of the Lord upon Joshua's life. Numbers chapter 27, verse 23. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. In the New Testament, the elders of the church laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas when they ordained them. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Later in his life, Paul cautioned his son in the faith, Timothy, to use great discretion in the laying on of hands. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Whenever we lay on hands in the name of Jesus Christ, we represent the Lord. Unless the hand of the Lord is with us, our service is fraudulent. Only Jesus can impart His blessing. Only He has the power to consecrate a man to a true ministry. Only He can heal. But when the hand of the Lord is upon our lives, Jesus said, "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." In the book of Acts, chapter 19, we see that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is received by the laying on of hands. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Only the Lord can impart this baptism. Obviously, then, the hand of the Lord was upon Paul when he laid his hands on the people. If we want to see good results, the same must be true for you and me. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Jesus performed the ultimate act of intercession when he died on our behalf. Because he laid down his life for us, it is our holy obligation to lay down our lives to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. No sacrifice was acceptable to God unless it was offered by the high priest. The great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, lays his hand upon our lives to make our sacrifice holy and acceptable unto God. And that is why Jesus is the rock, the foundation, and the chief cornerstone of the fourth principle of the doctrine of Christ, the laying on of hands.